Welcome to the Elementary Librarian Podcast, where we discuss simple tips and tricks to help you take your school library to the next level. And now your host, Jocelyn Sam.
Welcome, listeners, to the Elementary Librarian Podcast. Today, I'm very excited to have special guests Sherry Gick and Matthew Winner on the show. You may know Sherry and Matthew from the Library Fanatic blog and also the Busy Librarian blog. I will have both those links available for you in my show notes today. And Matthew also is the host of the Let's Get Busy podcast. And I'm so excited to have you guys on today. Thank you so much for coming on and welcome.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm really excited because I realized probably, I guess maybe about a month ago, that there was another library podcast. I did not know that there was another one out there.
Yay.
And yeah, I happened to discover it probably on Twitter or something, and I was like, yes, we're going worldwide with librarians.
I think between the way that you're advocating for our profession and the work I'm doing with authors and illustrators, I think we really got a great thing to offer. So I'm glad that I get to work with you like that.
Yeah, it's really cool. I'm really having a good time talking to these guys. We've been talking for a couple minutes before the show, and I am talking to them today about a TEDx Elementary project, and I don't know a whole lot about this myself. I've done a little bit of research before we got on the call today, but I assume that it has to do with, like, the TED Talks.
That's right.
And,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, TEDx is the name they attribute to those independently organized TED organizations. So TED Talks are the official ones, and TEDx have been springing up all over the world.
Okay, great. Well, that kind of clarifies that a little bit. I am a little bit familiar with TED, and the reason why I am is my husband recently got the Xbox One as a Christmas present.
Ooh, lucky
and,
him.
Yeah, and so on the Xbox One, one of the apps is a TED app, and so he has been, like, borderline obsessive with watching these TED Talks every day.
Great.
So
it's got a great radio hour, too, through NPR, that TED Talk radio hour. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't tell him that, because then we'll be listening to him like 24 hours a day instead of like 12 hours a day.
But
yeah, so we've been listening to a lot of TED Talks, and so when I talked to you guys, Matthew and Sherry were recommended via my website. If you go to elementarylibrarian.com/podcastguest, you can recommend an awesome librarian. But that's how I discovered these guys, and also through Twitter. And so, you know, I got to talk to them, and they're like, hey, we are doing this really interesting thing with called Earth Pals, and it has to do with TEDx Elementary. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah, no TED. So, yeah, so if you have time to watch the TED Talks, some of them are really outstanding. So I'm looking forward to talking about this project.
Well, and I think what you'll find even more inspiring is not only that, you know, TED is focusing on adults, and actually very recently they got into schools. So
right.
Like middle and high schools are doing it. We started doing this project because we wanted to give elementary school students a voice on that same kind of TED stage. And so that's really what this project is all about, and why we're excited to talk to you and your listeners about where we're taking the project this year and reaching out to all of the librarians and educators all over the country and even really all over the world to really make an impact with our students.
Yeah, I think it is fantastic. You know, anyone who's listened to my podcast in the past knows that I'm for anything techie slash a little nerdy. I'm all for it. I love it. So I think that it's making our students better students and better people. So I am all for it. It is A-okay with me. So let's start out with telling the listeners a little bit about yourselves, where you're at, how long you've been a librarian, any other information that you would like to share with them.
Sherry, ladies first. You can take it.
Okay, thanks. I am currently in Indiana. I am in my fifth year as a school librarian. I have a background in elementary education and special education as far as classroom setting goes. And I'm currently at a middle high school level, but I supervise an elementary librarian. And my school system is unique. We're very small, about 1,000 students. And we're K-12, three schools under one roof, so it's two libraries.
Yeah, you are busy.
Yeah.
I thought I was the busy librarian. Who am I kidding? I am Matthew Winner. I blog at busylibrarian.com. I teach in Elk Ridge, Maryland, which is just outside of Baltimore, at an elementary school that just opened, brand new elementary school called Ducketts Lane Elementary. I've been there for 1 year because it's brand new. This is my 7th year in the library, and before that I taught 4th grade. And I suppose I should tell you how Sherry and I met, because it's quite an awesome story, I think. A colleague of mine, Jennifer Lagarde, and I ran an online book club all about gaming and gamification. We called it the Level Up Book Club. And Sherry was involved as a participant, and we just ended up connecting and realizing that we were both shared a lot of the same goals and a lot of the same interests and passion. And so it just seemed natural to start collaborating. And so now Sherry and I are really collaborative partners. That's what I would attribute my relationship with her. She's my go-to for big projects and little things like Skyping and connecting our classes.
It's a privilege.
Okay, great. I love talking to collaborative partners. I have done several podcasts recently where I've talked to people who collaborate via Skype and just different ways. And I think it's really cool where our profession has gone, you know, in the last few years, just where we can have this interaction and we don't have to be right next door to each other.
Absolutely, especially because so many of us are alone in the library. This is a way to feel connected and to get PD and to grow.
Alone in the library, alone in the school. You know, it's such a great thing to be able to, you know, reach out at any point of the day and get an opinion of somebody that gets it. Because as we talked before the show started, not everybody gets some of the responsibilities and things that school librarians are responsible for.
Exactly. Well, tell us a little bit about how you guys discovered this TEDx project. Tell us about who can do this. Are there any special type of requirements? Do you have to sign up for anything? Just some basic information about how you got started in all this.
Sherry, why don't I start with that, since I kind of came to you bugging you to do this project with me. I've been a big fan of TED Talks for a while now, and I'm very familiar with TEDx and the work they're doing independently across the country, much like how ed camps are springing up everywhere too. I was at the ISTE conference when it was in San Diego. That was 2 years ago, and saw a presentation where someone mentioned about TEDx in middle schools. And I thought, well, that's really cool. But I think that my 6 to 10-year-olds are capable too and have a voice too. So the idea of TED Talks really are that these are people that are coming to the stage that saw a problem in the world and set about to change it or to understand it differently and to challenge others to do so too. So when I approached Sherry about it, it was really that idea that I thought that we could find a project with our elementary age children that we could challenge them to make a change in their world and we could facilitate, but really we as teachers could get out of their way and let them be responsible for their learning and in that way really accomplish some big things.
Okay. Yeah, that is really interesting that you say that, because we always talk about in education how student-led learning is the most effective, and yet that's usually not what we do. So
it takes so much restraint, so much planning. Sherry, I'm going to let you go into what our focus was on the projects, but we had weeks and weeks of planning ahead of time, just kind of saying, how in the world are we going to tackle this and stay out of their way? And it paid off in a really big way.
Absolutely. You know, originally when Matthew approached me with the idea and we began to kind of sketch out what it would look like and who we would work with, because we obviously both needed a class to work with. And so Matthew had chosen third grade. And so I approached a good friend of mine who teaches third grade as well. And because I'm in the other end of the building, I had the opportunity to have the classroom with her, and so we were able to work together, Gretchen Welk. But, you know, Matthew and I had sketched this out. We thought 9 weeks that we could do this project and approach our kids and our classes and kind of give them this inquiry base, you know, that we could, if they could change something, you know, what did they see in their school, in their community, you know, environmentally? Is there something, you know, that they would be able to make a change, maybe even in their classroom, and then how we could look at how that would, the ripple effect would be? At my school, the kids came up with the idea of recycling. And as third graders, some of them remembered that in kindergarten there had been, you know, some type of recycling. They were familiar with the idea, but, you know, they said, you know, why don't we do that anymore? Why are our trash cans overflowing or whatever, you know? And so, again, the stepping back part, you know, Mrs. Welk and I just kind of stepped back and made list of all these ideas of things, you know, what recycling would require. And finally, it came down to the fact that they said, you know, hey, all it takes is a box. And the fact that we make the effort to do it, we put paper into a box. In the meantime, Matthew, take it away, their environmental focus was way different, but way cool.
Right. We had already a recycling program in our school, but what my third graders noticed was a major problem, which I think you could say is a problem in every school, is that we waste a ton of energy. Our computer labs are always on. Our lights are always on, even when, you know, no one's in the classroom, even way beyond the school day. We're wasting a lot of energy, and that equals money. So our students asked the question, if we could figure out how much money we were spending and how much money we could save just by turning stuff off and unplugging appliances, then what could we do with that money that we made? And so here we have third graders both doing recycling with Sherry and energy saving with me, looking at making a change in their school that can affect not only their classroom, but the entire school, the entire county, and then really all of us everywhere. The way we aim to share this project was in a way that every person everywhere can access it. And we could talk about that later. But my kids went about, you know, at the heart of this project, Sherry said 9 weeks. The reason 9 weeks came into play was because, well, I only see my kids once a week. I'm on a fixed schedule. So I collaborated with my third grade teacher, and he did a bunch of work too, Albert Yu. He did a wonderful job with those things that take more time to develop, like writing argument pieces for our information and analyzing the data.
Extending
it. But that time really was because I wanted a hand in it. We took that time because I wanted to make sure I was involved in each step. We used voltmeters, which are these tools that you plug into the wall, and then you plug your appliance into the voltmeter, and it tells you how much energy the appliance is using. So you have, I don't know, an iMac computer going into the voltmeter. It tells you how much the energy is using before it's even turned on. Then you turn it on and you see the jump in energy usage, and you put in how much you're paying per kilowatt hour, and we immediately had a price affixed to each item in the building. My students took an inventory of all the items in the building. We made a spreadsheet through Google Docs that we could share with Sherry's kids, and we figured out in the course of a school day, a school week, and a school year, how much money our school alone is paying to run the computer lab, to run the laptops that the teachers have, to run the overhead projectors. We looked at every piece of equipment we could think of with implications for every school, because every school across the country has some sort of technology, whether it's overhead projectors or document cameras or LCD projectors or whatever you have, you know, Promethean boards, whatever you have something, it's using energy, and we can use it in a smarter way and save the school money.
Well, yeah, that's a really cool project, and such in-depth analysis is going on there, just that you normally wouldn't think that third graders would be able to do. And so I really like that direction that both of you guys were taking. You mentioned it briefly a few minutes ago, Matthew, but what can you tell us a little bit about what kind of schedules you have? I know you said you had a fixed schedule. And how exactly did this work as far as the timing goes? Because I have a lot of listeners out there, myself included, who have always been on a fixed schedule. And, you know, they might be thinking, this sounds great, but how on earth do I get this done?
You know, it's kind of the best of both worlds, because Sherry is not on a fixed schedule, and I am. So we see a real good marriage of these two schedules for this project. And through collaboration, we each chose people that we knew right away. I want to work with this person. This is a fantastic teacher. We're going to be able to all bring something great to the table. So before
that's
you even look at schedules, before you look at schedules, find someone really good to work with. Don't, you know, the project is going to be challenging, so find someone you're going to want to spend some intimate time with that can do good stuff. So I'm on a fixed schedule. All of Howard County in Maryland, actually a lot of Maryland counties are on fixed schedules, which is to say that each of my homeroom classes comes in the building, comes to me once a week for library media, whatever their respective day or time is. That's all different. You know, we have a related arts block that they go to art a certain time and PE a certain time and to library media a certain time. They come to me for 45 minutes a week, with the exception of kindergarten. They're only a half an hour. And in that 45 minutes, I teach a library lesson and also have book selection. My kids can come to the library at any time to check out books, but we have a formal book selection time during that library class to make sure that everybody gets a book. So when I was coordinating my schedule, Albert, my collaborating teacher here, and I really had to work to make sure, okay, I'm going to set up the project this week, and over the course of the week of classes until I see them again, here are the things that you're going to accomplish. We used a Google Doc for that. And Sherry and Gretchen were on that Google Doc too, so we could both kind of see in tandem where we were. Are we almost done collecting data? Are we almost done with pulling the data together into some sort of presentation? We were kind of making sure we were in sync with our progress.
And that was really important on my end of the building as well, because, like I said, I'm stationed at the middle high school level, and I have a library that needs to be open 7 periods a day, open to my 500 middle and high school students. And I have a couple of classes that I teach, but my schedule is, again, flexible. I have classes that schedule to come in to work with me in the lab or in the library, and I see all my kids, you know, once a week or every other week, depending on the grade level. But my administrators were very supportive, and so we talked about the fact that I supervise this elementary library, and that was one of my professional goals, was to really be more hands-on at that end of the building, which unfortunately required me to shut down my library once a week. And so my middle school principal said, you know, I believe in you, and I believe in this project that you're starting on, and he supported me. And he said, if that's what it's going to take, and that's fine, let's just see how it goes. And so I closed my library for about 45 minutes a week on Fridays to go down to team teach this project with Gretchen and the third grade. And it was just such a positive experience for me, because I don't get to work with elementary children on a daily basis or even a weekly basis because of where I am. And so it just it renewed that love for me and reminded me that, you know, this is why I got into education in the first place.
Right. And so really what I'm hearing from both of you is that the people that are in your building are kind of vital to the success of this project.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. This was not something that we could do alone in the library, or really I should say it this way. This project was what it was because we put the kids first. I could have designed a project and, you know, walked my kids through it, and it would have been my project, but it wouldn't have had any value to the children. We stepped out of their way, we put them in the center, and we made sure that the classroom teacher and we were both doing things that were instructionally valid and meaningful, but also supported these kids so that they had the tools they needed to accomplish their ideas. Or really, we even helped refine their vision so that we could make sure we could, make this thing work.
And I think that's important to remember, you know, because when we talk about the fact that we put the kids first and their ideas first, I don't want it to sound like the very first day that they were as willing. You know, it's unfortunately students aren't given this opportunity enough to express their ideas and their creativity and to know that their ideas are important. And so when Matthew talks about it required restraint, not only did it require restraint on our part, but it required a lot of encouragement. You know, that it doesn't matter. You share, your idea is important, and I want to hear what you think, and I want to write your idea. I want everybody's ideas to go into this chart, and then as a class, you know, let's work through and make some decisions how this project's going to go, not as the teacher, not as the librarian, but just that every student in that third grade class felt like, hey, this is ours, and that was just amazing to see mm-hmm. it evolve week after week as they became more comfortable with me and with the idea of the project and with the connecting with Matthew's class. And it was just, that yeah. was really amazing.
Well, let's just kind of go backwards a little bit. Okay, so we talked about how you guys decided to work together and what each different school was going to do. And so let's talk a little bit more about, and I know you said that you guys were collaborating via Google Docs, just kind of keeping track of where each other was at. So let's talk about how your students ended up collaborating together.
That's the best. we used Edmodo to connect our two classrooms. Well, I should say we used more than Edmodo. We used Skype to see each other and to right. encourage each other and ask questions of each other. We used Edmodo. We used
Today's Meet a little
today's
bit.
Meet,
well.
Today's Meet is kind of like a back channel chat, kind of like Twitter, only you can save an archive and it's only open for a limited amount of time. So Today's Meet is a really good tool to use for those conversations.
How did you all do Today's Meet? Was it like via iPad? Were people on computers? I've
yeah.
used it before. Okay.
Yeah, so we used Today's Meet. Well, let me backtrack, I guess. So we were doing two separate projects. It's important to see that.
Right.
The unity we had was that we were both looking at the environment in our schools and how we can affect, you know, the way we can be stewards of the earth. But beyond that, we were supporting Sherry's class by sharing what information we had about recycling. And they, on the other hand, were sharing with us about the things that we could, technology equipment that we could measure and ways that we can promote this. So there was a lot of idea exchange back and forth. But I was going to say, when we got onto Edmodo, you have to give the kids time, as they did, to ask, what's your favorite movie? Is it snowing where you are? They had...
Do you like dogs?
Right. And I think why that's so valuable is that they got to see that these are people. These are people right. that you could be friends with mm-hmm. that care about what you're doing and care that you're in the world. And that's a really big deal. I don't think we always feel like the work we're doing has any value beyond our classroom. But here, the kids weren't working for me to give them a grade. Mm-hmm. They were working so that they could be a voice for everyone. And that was real because they talked to Sherry's kids and realized, like, oh, my word, there's kids that care.
Yeah, and this project was going to be shared with these kids that
yeah.
cared about, you know. My kids cared about your kids cared about mine, and sharing it. I mean, that was a very big deal. It has to be right because Mr. Winter's class, they're going to care about how this looks and how it sounds, and, you know, this has to be good.
Yeah. So, Jocelyn, when we used Today's Meet, it was because at the very end of our project, the kind of closest-looking thing to TED Talks were that we wanted to present all of this information. We wanted to give our inspiring talk. So we ended up both of our classes designed infographics, and then we did that using Prezi so that we could present through our infographics. We could zoom in at the different mm-hmm. Data pieces. While we presented to one another, we had Today's Meet running in the background. I had it on an iPad. I think, Sherry, you had it on like another laptop or something, right?
I did. I had it on a couple of desktops.
Right. But the idea being that we can present to you, and in real time, you can ask questions and we can respond to you so that you didn't have to forget about something. We didn't have to wait all the way to the end of the project to say, okay, now who has any questions? You could log your questions on there. We can come back to them.
I think it's a very good active listening piece as well, because it's so, I mean, as fellow educators, you know that we're sometimes the worst, because when we're sitting in a presentation, we're leaning over to each other and asking questions or saying, you know, how does this relate to us? And this gave our students the opportunity to listen and ask questions appropriately, not to butt in during a presentation, but to, you know, go to the computer and type in what they were thinking at that moment, like Matthew said, so they didn't forget, but also so that the other class would know, hey, I noticed this point and I want to know more about this.
Exactly. And it also encourages active listening. If I am going to have to type a question about something, that means I'm going to have to be listening to what the other person is saying.
That's right. That's right.
And when you work in an elementary school setting, I mean, you don't always have active listening, let's face it. So I love it because I've used Today's Meet in some like professional development activities that I've been to.
Yeah.
And I think that people use it for the same reason. So I think that this is real authentic, real world experience for these students. And I love it. I mean, I think it's awesome.
Yeah, no doubt.
So you guys mentioned that you did some infographics on Prezi. Are those available? Could we take a look those if someone?
Absolutely.
Okay,
they are available and nice.
Great.
I was lucky enough, I think, in the mess and flurry of the activity to get photos of my kids designing an infographic. We used huge, bulletin board paper. Like, picture a huge sheet of that covering an entire library table. And all of my 30 students or 25 students crowded around it and just drawing and making notes on how we can organize all of our information into, you know, little sections. Here's five big topics. And why don't we make a picture here? And why don't we make a list here? We organized all of our data and information we wanted to share that way so that you could just read the infographic and get it, or you could go through as we did in our presentation and get all the information too. So that also gave us a chance to talk to our students about information literacy and how you read information when it's presented that way, when data is presented that way.
And so your culminating activity, was it like sharing these Prezis via Skype?
Yeah.
How did that work? Okay.
Well, kind of. Sherry, we did more than just you connecting with me. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, I'm smiling because I'm flipping through the blog post and just, you know, pictures are worth a thousand words. You know, we just really, Matthew and I both really documented the process just because we're big on that. And so looking at the kids working in the computer lab and putting together the graphs and, you know, sharing all these ideas, I love going back and revisiting this since it's been a while. But at the end, we shared, Matthew's class was our test run, I guess you would say. We presented to them, and after many presentations on, you know, tweaking and tweaking as deciding how they were going to put it together, we presented to Matthew's class and got some feedback from them, and then we went on to present it to our whole third grade and teachers, and then we invited and did a presentation for the administrators, and so, you know, it snowballed, and so I felt like the kids really felt that importance, because again, after they shared it and had some positive feedback, and we did some videoing of it so that they could critique themselves and say, okay, hey, maybe I should try this approach. And so they, as a class, continually improved their presentation and how to share it, and just really proud of that. And so there is a video. I have one of the final ones I videoed and have it up on my blog as well, their presentation.
Right. And our Prezis are both on our blogs, too. If you Google Earth Pals, which is what we called our collaboration, if you Google Earth Pals, it's one of the first hits or two are our Prezi and our blog posts.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'll do some homework, and I will try to get those exact links onto the show notes for my listeners, because I know that they'll want to take a look at those. I am dying to do so right now, but I don't want to get sidetracked. So, okay. So you mentioned that, Sherry said that she presented to the entire school and also to administration. Did you guys also do that?
Yeah, we presented to Sherry's class first and then to all of third grade in like a team meeting. And then we presented it essentially at a staff meeting. We invited our staff and administration in to present because not just for the kids to have a chance to speak to adults, but to give them that platform, because their ideas are that important. And we value their ideas that much that we think their work needs to be an example for everyone. It needs to be shared with everyone. It was just, I don't know, this the way we shared it, of course the administration thought it was meaningful, and of course the teachers did, but I think it was also a testament to these teachers that look what these kids can do if we get out of their way. They're capable of amazing things. And, you know, Jocelyn, I wanted to say, I keep forgetting to bring this up, the way we documented this on our blogs was so that anyone could copy our process. Because when we were doing this, we saw this as much, much bigger than us. We saw it as something that other people can get involved. And we wanted to take our run as a test run. And then this year, we want to invite the rest of the world to join us in a virtual conference of sorts that we're calling Genius Con, because it's kind of like a Genius Hour inspired kind of thing. And we really want everyone, K to five, even academic, higher academic institutions like colleges, we want everyone to get involved and ask their students, what's something that you could change about your school? And how do you go about doing it? And then we want to see what people come up with and what they try.
Okay, and this is actually an upcoming project that you guys are currently working on, right?
That's right, and it's just kind of it's.
We
fun
are. Oh yeah. Last year we did a focus on environment. This year, as we were just saying, we posed the question: if you could change anything about your school, what would you do? Sherry and I this year are going to work with first graders because her collaborating teacher, Gretchen, is now in first grade. I've got a great buddy that teaches in first grade at my school. And we want to pose the question to first graders, what do you do about bullies in the school? And see what they come up with. What kind of program or initiative or whatever are they going to come up with for dealing with bullies in our school? Maybe it'll be a program they'll come up with. Maybe they'll make a little skit or a song. Maybe they'll make posters. I have no idea what they're going to do, but it's going to be valuable to them. Yeah.
We don't know where it'll go, and what their ideas will be, but we know it will be genius because their ideas are always genius. We just have to recognize that.
And I love how you guys are even going younger because all of our students have ideas.
That's right.
And I think the idea, too, that we knew that we wouldn't get – we knew that it would be easy to get participation in older grades because so much work with Genius Hour, with that 20 time, with giving the students time to work on their own passion projects, so much of that happens in high school specifically. So why not challenge ourselves on the other end and show – that our six-year-olds are just as capable. They just haven't had the opportunity to do it yet.
Right.
Yeah, I love that. I think that is fantastic. What was the response of the other students, first of all, the other teachers that were not involved in the project, administrators, et cetera? What was the reaction from those people?
How did they react in your building, Sherry, for Earth Pals?
Well, I think the response was, overwhelmingly positive. I had more teachers want to, for me to work with their classes, which is always a good thing. Once you see something positive happen, I think teachers are drawn to that. And our biggest recognition, Matthew, we may as well
say
it.
Go ahead.
We were recognized, our project was recognized and awarded the Primary Innovation Award by Sig Lib, Special Interest Group for
Librarians.
And ISTE.
Which is the ISTE's special interest. ISTE's got special interest groups for all different categories of educators and administrators. And their librarian group, Sig Lib, SIGLIB, has a Technology Innovation Award that they award a primary and an intermediate for great collaborations going on between the librarian and another personnel. Right. And for us, we were trying a new thing, and that is to approach it with two librarians collaborating together and with classroom teachers.
Double awesome.
Yeah, perhaps a little more ambitious than what we're encouraging other people to get into, but I just think that made it even better.
Yeah, definitely. What an honor to be recognized the very first time that you tried this. So I think that's fantastic.
Be the change.
That's right.
Don't be
afraid. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's what we're here for. We're here to just push that domino and get something started in everybody's building. And so let's run with that. Let's talk about what were some benefits of the project. You've already talked about a lot of these. Okay. What are some things that were great? What are some things that maybe weren't so great and maybe could be improved for the next time? And again, let's just talk about how the project impacted that student learning.
Yeah. Sherry, why don't I start?
Okay.
If you don't mind. One of the things that we focused on at our school, at Longfellow, was making sure that we were hitting a lot of academic targets along the way. We did a lot of work with math, developmentally appropriate math for third grade. We were looking at creating formulas in Excel charts, you know, in a Google Doc, but still that same thing that we could do the math and then learn how to import that or input that formula to have the computer do the math for us, but understanding that multiplication behind it, which was really multiplying the number of the cost of the kilowatt hour per the number of hours we were using it. But still, that's meaningful multiplication. We were also doing a lot of writing in this project because we were organizing our data and trying to communicate it to our audience. But in doing so on an infographic, we had to make sure we weren't very wordy. So that became a new kind of writing for our students. They weren't writing these long expository pieces. They weren't answering, you know, BCRs, or they weren't doing essay responses. Instead, they had to really kind of filter their responses down to the most succinct and understandable tidbits of information they could in order to get our information across. So I would say we had a really big writing focus and a really big math computation focus on my end.
And the overall encompassing the science standards, you know, I guess when you think about library projects and library collaborative projects, too often math and science are not the ones that come to mind. And so I think this project really broke all the rules because we weren't just talking about books. You know, we were doing some real life things. And I think that's important outside of the walls of the library for other teachers to see that, and for the students to recognize as well, because again, we're teacher librarians, and so, you know, focusing on the fact that we're working with all these different skills, and the fact that they're life skills, you know, it all worked together. The other standards I think that we really hit hard were the presentation ones as well, and so that's a big part of third grade as far as sharing information in different ways, either through computer projects and also public speaking. And so we hit so many standards. It was
the speech writing into the public speaking. They had to organize their thoughts in order to communicate it. And that's where Sherry really drove home before, where she shared about how many times the kids had to practice. It was a big deal, I think, for them to realize on my end, too, that we're not just going to throw this project together and be done with it. We've worked for so long, so many weeks. We're really going to make sure this is polished.
That's right. It's not just a once and done.
There's so much in the Common Core that leans toward those skills. I've been working with the Common Core for a couple of years now, and it really, really pushes those planning and production and all those kind of skills. They all go hand in hand, and so I think that that's great the way that you guys incorporated those all together. What were some challenges that you faced? I mean, I know the obvious ones are scheduling and things of that nature. Tell us about some of the things that were hard to get over.
Scheduling was really tough because we did most of our work. Wasn't it, Sherry, most of it was in like February? I just remember there was a lot of snow.
Well, again, I mean, I think that's we kicked it off. We're trying to wrap up, I think, as far as we thought that we would be wrapping up about February, and then it not only did it snowball, literally, we had some snow days and things like that, but also the kids had more things that they wanted to do with it, and so Matthew and I both again step back. Okay, so this project has grown, and that's in a good way, but you know, we had to focus our energies a little bit differently.
We also had state testing, which interrupted things too. I should say that.
Yes, we're making that was difficult for us to, I guess, to do our final presentation because of some of those hurdles that we had to overcome.
I had,
especially if you're working with somebody in a different state too, because you probably have different testing schedules and all that.
It was a little funky. For me to go directly into what was challenging with the students themselves, I think the kids really responded well to the fact that that they got to play a role in this, and that it was different every week. Every week we were focusing on a new component of the work. So that was good. There was something for everybody. But some of my kids, when we got into the math part of it, and we did the math, some of the math, or a lot of the math, in the library with me. I like math a lot. but because I have their homeroom when they come to me, not their math group. They're in homogeneous math groupings. But that's not the case when they come to media. So we had some kids that got the math right away and some kids that this is not where they were on their on their math work. And that was hard for them, I think, to suddenly hit a part of the project where it wasn't all creative and it wasn't all, you know, counting projectors or designing a whatever, some sort of a graphic for our poster. It really got down into doing some of the math that they just – I had to break it down really well for them to understand what we were doing and draw them back in. So there were a couple moments that maybe were divided the class up a little bit.
I think another challenge on my end was just making sure that everybody's interest level and involvement stayed throughout the project, you know, because like you mentioned, Matthew, as far as when it got to some of the things that maybe not everybody was quite as interested in, you know, but it was still part of the project. And so keeping them engaged, they loved the project as a whole. But, you know, there were some days when, you know, maybe just like days for us when not everybody's 100% there. And so, you know, refocusing energy, as you always have to do with any students, and make sure that they're using their time wisely.
Right.
Yeah, I would say that definitely would be challenging. And for me, I would be one of those kind of people that's in love with spreadsheets and not so much all the creative stuff. I'm a big spreadsheet fan.
There you go. I should say, too, we hit a bump when we got down to the creative drawing kind of part of it, of our infographic. My students designed the infographic. My students designed the infographic on that big chart paper that I was mentioning to you. But then I organized it all on Prezi because I'm really affluent with that tool. So they designed it. They told me exactly where everything should go. And they actually did some of the drawings that I uploaded into the Prezi. But as far as typing, doing the layout, controlling everything, I did that. They told me exactly where they wanted it to go, but I did that. And so there were points when, you know, the kids that were assigned to do whatever drawing, you know, logos for it, there were children that were really jealous that why do those kids get to do the drawing and I have to do making this list? Like, I think there was a point when even though we talked about drawing from everyone's strengths, and I really want to use you for your strength, there got to be a point where people, as we all would be, were just a little jealous that why don't I get to make the logo? Why don't I get to do whatever?
Right. And that's just all a part of working together. Yep. I mean, that's a lesson that we all have to learn really throughout our lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's talk about if someone's interested, if somebody's listening to this and thinking, you know, this sounds like a great idea, I would love to do something like this, where would you recommend that he or she start? Keeping in mind that, you know, a lot of people that listen to this podcast have an uphill battle to climb. They have a fixed schedule. They don't have very long for their classes. Maybe they don't have a lot of people in their building who want to collaborate. Where would you recommend that they start?
All right. Well, the easiest place to go is to tinyurl.com/geniuscon. That's tinyurl.com/genius, G-E-N-I-U-S, con, C-O-N. That is our Google Doc that we're sharing to collaborate with everyone, to idea share, to connect people together. We want people to do these little projects like we're doing now. And then we want in May to bring everyone back together, and we're going to coordinate some big Google Hangouts that we can all present to one another and share and encourage and celebrate. And we're envisioning having first graders and eighth graders and high schoolers all together. We want people here all working together. So right now we have this Google Doc open with an Edmodo group link on it and a sign-up link on it.
Right.
And it's going to become more than that as this project evolves. But that is your home base for contacting us, for moving forward, for connecting with other people.
And I'm assuming that you guys will be chronicling all this on your blogs as well.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, and so if nothing else, I mean, if you're out there thinking, you know, there's no way I can do this, at least check it out. See if there's something, some way that you can get involved in this project.
Absolutely, and go back, and like Matthew said, if you search Earth Pals and you want to see the process, because we did detail it week by week, you can see on each of our blogs how the project evolved at our individual schools with our classes, and it's very detailed. I think it's, like Matthew said, we set it up where it could be duplicated, replicated, and so we've tried to cover all the bases. If there's questions that you have, we're certainly available.
Yeah, you know, one of the easiest jump-off points you could even do, and this might actually encourage you to get knee-deep in it, but just ask your kids one day, one media class, one time that you see them, ask them, what's a problem that you see in this school, and how would you fix it if you were put in charge? And record that down. And then you share that with all of us. You blog that out or put it on our tiny URL GeniusCon page. You share that. That alone is such a big deal that you're asking the kids what they would change.
Yeah, maybe even just as an experiment, one day just ask that question.
In fact, right. I dare you to ask that question and try not to follow through with one of those projects, because you're going to be so excited at what these kids come up with. Ways to move around the building more quietly or more efficiently. You know, different ways to compost and to do projects like that around the building. Ways that intermediate kids can work with elementary. You're going to see a ton of cool ideas come up. I think it's just going to blow your mind.
I'm so excited about that, because I'm going to be working with first grade class, but I'm also going to be kicking the same GeniusCon idea off with my eighth graders that I'll have for 9 weeks. And so we're going to devote one day a week to GeniusCon and their ideas of what they'd like to see changed in the school. And so I'm excited about seeing how it looks differently in my school with different age groups as well as across the nation.
Yeah, I think that's great. I love to hear what students have to say, and I think that we all do, but I think that we just get just bogged down in our day-to-day activities and routines, and if we can start these dialogues, you know, that can be a major jumping-off point to something that would be even more amazing, like this project that you guys have done together, so...
Yeah.
I think it's great. I just hope that some of the listeners will listen to this and say, you know, this is what we need to be doing in our school, because I think this is what we all need to be doing in our schools.
You know what, Jocelyn? We also approached this as a whole class because we thought that was more manageable. You can do projects like this, and certainly in high schools they do Genius Hour with individual students, and having 30 different projects going on, passion projects going on, we chose to do it as a class so that we could manage it a little bit easier. This is going to work differently for every single person, and probably the most important thing you can do is make sure you follow the path that's right for you and for your school and for your students.
That's right. Exactly.
But definitely take a chance.
Be the change.
See that genius in your kids.
That's what we have to do. I'm so excited about it. I'm excited for you guys. I can't wait to see how the project unfolds. I'll be definitely keeping track of it through both of your blogs. So, finally, we've gone a little bit longer than I normally do. I try to keep it around 30 minutes, but this has just been so just, I don't know, inspirational and interesting. No, I love it. No, I love it. I hope that people maybe will have to pause it and listen to it, you know, part before school and part after school or something like that. If people have questions about anything that we've discussed today, what's the best way to reach out to you guys?
I would say probably the best way to get a hold of both of us at the same time is to go onto that Google Doc, tinyurl.com/geniushour, or GeniusCon, sorry, my bad. We will have our email addresses on there that people can email us directly, but really, if you post it onto that doc, we're going to see that something new has been added. We can respond in the document, and then your question might help other people who want to do this.
That's right. We're also both available on Twitter, at Library Fanatic, and so you can always find me there. And
I'm at Matthew Winner, and Sherry and I both respond on Twitter at all hours of the day. You can also, if you want to be a part of the conversation, you can use #GeniusCon on Twitter, and that's where we'll be having online discussions. Everyone that shares that hashtag will be part of a thread of discussions throughout the year.
Okay, that sounds great. And I do encourage you to get on Twitter if you are not on Twitter. I did do a podcast about that a while back, and it's just such a powerful tool for us as educators. So I really encourage you, if you're not on there, to get on there right now.
Yeah, even if you're not, even if you don't have an account, just get on and lurk. Lurking, you know, is just when you go on and look. You can go on to twitter.com and you can, in the search bar, type in hashtag GeniusCon. Hashtag is that pound sign. Hashtag GeniusCon, and you're going to see stuff come up already that people are sharing ideas. You don't even have to have a Twitter account, but you're going to want one because it is awesome.
Exactly. I'll tell you a little secret, too, is that I'm sort of a Twitter lurker. I don't talk a lot on there, but I do get really amazing ideas, and I find a lot of cool people on there. So don't miss that on Twitter if you're not on there already. So, all right. Well, I am going to wrap this up. I appreciate you guys taking the time today to talk to us. Remember that if you have not gone to both Matthew and Sherry's blogs, you can find them, Matthew at busylibrarian.com. And also... And so the Let's Get Busy podcast, you can find Sherry at thelibraryfanatic.com. Is that right, Sherry?
That's right.
Okay, and you can find them blogging there. I do encourage you to check out their blogs. They have some really amazing stuff on there, so don't miss out on that. And again, I thank you guys so much for being on the show today and sharing your ideas about TEDx Elementary.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was great. Lots of fun.
All right, thanks so much. I hope that you enjoyed today's podcast episode as much as I enjoyed recording with Sherry and Matthew. They were a lot of fun, and I hope that you have subscribed to the Elementary Librarian Podcast on iTunes. There is a link to show you how to do that on this episode, so check that out if you have not done so. That way the episodes will automatically download to your smart device. Be on the lookout for podcasts about library displays. Two about library centers, and some more really important and awesome information to make your library even better than it already is. And if these podcasts are helpful to you, I would really appreciate your rating on iTunes or Stitcher if you're listening on either of those mediums. I would really, really appreciate that. It does help me out. It lets iTunes know that my podcast is relevant for people who search for librarians. Also, I wanted to let you guys know that I have just finished developing sixth grade lesson plans. That's something that a lot of you guys have been asking for quite a while now. And so I have sixth grade library lesson plans available for January through May. I do have a video that describes the lesson plans and what all is included. You can check that out by looking at the show notes on Podcast 10, and that's elementarylibrarian.com/podcast10. Thanks again for listening, and I hope that you have a great day.
For listening to the Elementary Librarian Podcast, brought to you by elementarylibrarian.com.